you should always kind of be keeping stock of where you are quality-wise, like sound quality, production quality, and where you want to be. And if those line up, then you don't need an editor. If those don't line up and you've tried yourself to, you know, do the production and everything and you can't, then it's maybe time to start thinking about a budget and looking for an editor. But like, I mean, you know, the reality is there's no reason to have an editor just to want one. Like what the editor is going to bring to you is basically a higher production value. I think it's important to ask yourself basically, what is the production quality that I'm sitting at right now? And then where do I want to be ideally, you know, for future episodes? That doesn't line up, then yeah, get an editor.
Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Does the tech stuff about podcasting overwhelm you? Are you wondering if you should just hire an editor or perhaps an engineer, but aren't sure what the difference is? Or are you thinking, maybe if I could just learn a couple quick little editing tips, then I would just be fine to keep doing this on my own? Well, great. This is the episode for you. This week's show features Carl, the founder of a company that offers editing and engineering services for podcasters called The Podcast Engineer. Carl uses his technical skills and works on podcasts during the post-production stages in order to ensure his podcasting clients have content that is professional and worthy of publication. In this week's episode, he talks about his background and journey as a business owner in the podcasting world. He offers advice about how to make one's podcast fit the criteria of a high audio quality podcast. And more importantly, he satisfies your concerns regarding whether or not you should invest in an editor and how much you should budget if you plan to do so. Let's dive in. Carl, can you tell me a little bit about, like, what is your business? What do you do?
Absolutely. So my business is The Podcast Engineer, and I have basically developed this sort of array of services that more or less everything that happens after you hit stop. If you're recording a podcast, obviously you need to show up, you need to talk, maybe interview a guest. But then when you hit stop, there's a lot that happens, right? There's a lot of editing, there's a lot of post-production, there's even a little bit of management and admin stuff that goes in with uploading and titling and all that good stuff. And so that kind of is within my wheelhouse. And so for some people, obviously they have like a more intricate relationship between their podcast and maybe their business or a blog or something like that. And so for those people, I will usually be more of a kind of technical producer role. But yeah, I mean, the reality is everything that you can pretty much classify as sort of the production side of having a podcast and creating a podcast is all kind of within the realm of services that I offer for the clients I work with.
It sounds like it's a lot of post-production. So editing, maybe mixing sound.
Oh, yeah.
Creating stingers for people, all of that stuff. Do you also have a podcast?
So I do not have a current podcast. I did a limited run at the end of last year that was kind of like the most meta podcast. It was really geared more for like new kind of podcasters. So it was like, if you're going to get up and running, here are the things you need to pay attention to. It's still out there. It's still public. It's called DIY Podcasting if you want to look it up. But yeah, it's like I said, kind of been on a hiatus for a little while. I am, though, kind of spoilers, looking to bring it back at some point, revamp it a little bit. Just haven't gotten around to doing that quite yet.
Yeah. So how long have you been in the podcasting industry? When did you decide to start The Podcast Engineer?
Yeah. So I've been in podcasting specifically for, I guess, over about 2 years at this point. I've been dabbling and kind of working in audio, specifically like music production, for 10 plus years. I think in like 2008, maybe. I like first got my hands on a piece of like music production software. I started tinkering around. I've always been kind of musical at heart. I used to play piano and guitar pretty darn well. And so I was always kind of recording stuff and mixing stuff on my own. A couple of years ago, I had a good friend of mine that had and actually still has a show. And we were talking about his podcast and everything. And I was like, let me help you with the sort of back end stuff, like the editing, the engineering, and all that fun kind of post-production stuff that he honestly was neither really savvy about or kind of willing to put the time into. So I was like, let me handle that for you. I really enjoyed it. And so I was like, all right, there's something here. Let's see what happens if I kind of pursue this more. And so now here I am about, like I said, a little over 2 years later. And I'm still loving it. I'm still working with awesome podcasters. And as far as I can tell, they enjoy working with me too. So yeah, it's been a journey, but it's been a really fun journey.
And this has become a full-time business for you.
This is, yeah, I like to say it's one of my full-time businesses.
Yeah?
Basically, you have a full-time engineering job. I went to college for electrical engineering, and so I am a technology designer and consultant by day. By night, I run The Podcast Engineer, which is this, you know, basically all-inclusive technical production, as I just said, you know, a few minutes ago. It makes for some long days and some rough weeks every once in a while, but boy, is it really fun. And yeah.
Have you had any like real struggles when it comes to trying to figure out, do I make this a business? Do I not?
Yeah. I mean, starting a business is always sort of a struggle, no matter what you go into, but podcasting is a very interesting market, in my opinion, because it is kind of what you make of it. What I mean by that is there are people that will literally start a podcast for free in their bedroom. And so, you know, they want the world, but they can afford none of it. Or you also kind of on the flip side have these massive companies that basically shell out a ton of money for a marketing podcast. And, you know, they're willing to basically have a whole team work on their stuff. And so diving into the industry, trying to figure out where you fit in as a new kind of podcasting business, as a new production house, that is very tricky. And trying to nail down the clients you seek or that you really want to work with eventually is always kind of a battle, at least from my experience. You know, sometimes you get lucky and you get them first try or kind of early off. And then sometimes you're like, oh, well, I'm doing well. I'm trying to move in this direction though. And so it's always a question of like, here I am now, but where do I want to be in 1, 3, 5 years, right?
And how do I not get overwhelmed?
Yes.
How do I focus on just this one little thing, even though I want it to be this other bigger thing? How do I stay focused on the picture I have in front of me right now to move to that next step? That's something that I struggle with.
Absolutely. I guess to add to that, in my opinion, it's like a more of all the sort of creative, if you want to call it services, all the artsy kind of services or industries. It's unique in that it's recurring, right? It's a lot like a TV show in the sense that like, it's not, I'm going to produce a movie and then on to the next project. It's all right, I'm working on this podcast now every week. They got a show coming out. So it's a momentum builder. And at some point you're building a lot of momentum and you're like, all right, this is great. But like, are we heading in the right direction? Or do I need to maybe course correct? And if so, how can I do that without dropping the ball anywhere? Sometimes it's more of a struggle than others, but that's always sort of the back of my mind thought process, especially as, you know, the business is growing.
Yeah. I think that podcasting is a really unique industry because it's growing and there's a lot of people now who are starting to take notice. And I think that also, like, it means so many different things, right? Like a lot of conversations I have with clients or just people who are curious about podcasting is there room for growth? Is there room for more podcasts? Is it oversaturated now? Can I make money with my podcast? How do I do all of the work that it takes to make a podcast, but without spending all of this money?
Yep.
Are you getting those kinds of questions?
100%. I get, I get less of the, is it oversaturated? I see that a lot. I don't necessarily get that a lot, but I guess to just dive into that for a minute, I think that's such an interesting concern because it's like, one, there is no limit, right? It's not like we're working in traditional media where we have air bands and we need to worry about like, okay, who's on, you know, this radio station. We're not limited by anything, right? It's all digital in this case. But also, how many influencers are there on Instagram? Like there's gazillions, right? And there's nowhere near as many podcasts, at least active ones. Like there are plenty, still probably not anywhere near like Instagram sort of influencers, but yeah, I mean, there's so much room. And I think it's been growing so quickly as an industry that when podcasting gets thrown out, a lot of people are like, oh, it's blowing up. I don't know if we can do anymore. But I think any kind of new media, or even though podcasting isn't really new, but any new media, at least in the public's eye, always has that same projection where like it explodes. Everyone's like, oh my God, everyone's here. But yeah, there's always room. But The second thing you said about, you know, I want to make a really pro show, but I'm working on like a dime budget right here. Yeah, that's a problem a lot of people have. And it's not a huge problem for some people. Like, you can put out just a regular kind of more or less unproduced show. And as long as you kind of do a good job of capturing on the front end and it doesn't sound like you're in a garage, then you're probably fine. Like, most people are going to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. Once you start striving for like the Radiolabs and the NPRs and the really, really big show, like once you start dipping into that sort of realm of production, you really do want to make sure you're like presenting yourself well. But for the average Joe, it's like a lot of YouTube channels, you know, it's fine if it's kind of grassroots and it's kind of like DIY. There's a little bit of charm to that to some degree.
I think that it's awesome that so many people are getting into this space. And I agree that there's a lot of room. Mm-hmm. A statistic that I like to keep in mind is there's still 40% of people in the United States who don't even know what a podcast is or have even ever listened to a podcast. And this is according to the latest data from Edison Research. Like, this is based on real surveys, real research. And this means that there is still a lot of room to grow. I had my physical, my 1 year physical yesterday, and we were talking about just like exercises to do after having a baby with my doctor. And my doctor's like, yeah, that's what I did too. I just went on YouTube and watched those videos. And I was like, everybody knows about YouTube, but not everybody is listening to podcasts.
I think part of that is like, it's not difficult to share, but like YouTube has kind of built this platform where you hop on the homepage and it's like, you don't even need to know what you want to do. You can just hop on there and like you're guided into hours of just, you know, rabbit holes of watching random things. And like podcasts haven't quite gotten there yet. I don't know how they are or if they are ever going to get there, kind of as like them being all of them, like Apple and Google and Spotify and all of them. But there's this weird, like, even though there's like a ton of people in the US that listen to podcasts, I still feel like there's this weird barrier to entry where like, if you want to dive in, you need to have a very goal, like specific goal in mind. Like, you need to know what you're going to go listen to. You need to hopefully assume that you're going to enjoy it. So yeah, I think that's part of the reason, but it is interesting. You know, it's like, it's huge or at least growing, but it's not like sort of household conversation yet.
I would like to talk about good sounding podcasts. And this is your specialty, right? Like sound, the tech stuff. And this is also the stuff that I find my clients are looking for the most help with.
Yeah.
They're like, can I find somebody just to edit my podcast? Like, can I just do that? Or because so many people don't even want to worry about it. But if someone is looking to learn, what would you suggest that they do to do it at home?
I think there's a little bit of a misconception with some people that they need to shell out the big bucks to get like a really fancy setup and a really pro mic. And yes, that is going to do kind of the cream of the crop level work for you, but you're going to get 80% of the way there with a halfway decent mic, even like less than $100, if you know how to use it. One thing, for example, that I see a lot of people do, which like I always try to remind them without being too mean about it, but like they'll point their Yeti in the wrong direction. But if you read the manual very clearly, you know, you need to be talking basically to the face of your Yeti microphone because it is a what's called a side address microphone. So the capsule is facing basically the same direction as the logo. And a lot of people will just point it at their face. And so what happens if you point it the wrong way, then it's either recording the ceiling or the floor. And that never sounds good ever, you know, no matter what microphone you use. As long as you know where to point it, you're fine. That's pretty much what it comes down to. But for the most part, if you're buying anything that looks like a handheld microphone or anything that's like meant for podcasting, usually they're directional. So like they're meant to be pointed in a specific direction, usually at your face. And so that's going to do the best to like isolate everything else and make sure you are capturing the sound you want to be capturing. And then the other thing that I released a little video about this. But I was talking about how picking a good room is like way more important than any piece of equipment you're ever going to buy. As I mentioned earlier, if you're like in a garage or in a big sort of two-story living room, making that sound good is going to be very difficult unless you do actually spend the money to get a very specific kind of microphone. So you don't have to be in a closet. It sounds great. But like if you're just kind of in a small room with a little bit of like soft kind of padding or like, you know, a lot of decorations, then you'll probably be fine. Carpeted rooms, even better, right? So like a lot of that kind of basic knowledge of acoustics and like how to use your microphone properly gets you 80% of the way there. And if you're comfortable with that 80%, then you don't have to worry too much about like sound mixing and engineering and stuff. And you can just kind of go in and do some kind of cuts for editing. But yeah, I think that's like my two, that is the long, long story, but that's kind of like my 2 cents for people looking to basically go DIY and making it sound as good as possible.
I agree with you. And we've joked about this a little bit already because I'm in my closet right now.
Yeah.
And I did put a carpet in the floor because it was hardwood. Yeah. And I hung sound curtains as well as my clothes. So even though you can't see it, I'm in my closet. Well, you can kind of see it.
I wouldn't have guessed, honestly.
So is there a microphone that you would recommend that people, if they're just getting started, what would you recommend for people?
That Audio-Technica, it's like this gray handheld with a switch. It's like dirt cheap, even cheaper if you get it used. And depending on where you buy, but usually people sell audio gear, take good care of it. You know where to look. like if you go on audio reselling kind of marketplaces. But that is a great entry-level one. Again, if you position it properly and you're not set up in a big old cave, then you're great. You'll sound really good. If you want to go a little level higher, I always like the SM58 because it's built like a tank. You can find one for like 50 used, 100 new. And again, that thing, like there are plenty of podcasts that I listen to that sound really good that they just have a pair of those, like one for each host and then they're done. That's it. You know, it's a very inexpensive setup and it sounds fantastic. So those are really good entry points that I like to recommend.
What would you, I'm going to run through like my list of things.
Go for it.
You recommend for editing, right? Someone is never edited before. They're looking to give it a try. They don't want to spend a ton of money. What would you recommend they do?
Yeah, I think it's important. And this is maybe not the answer for everybody, but I think if someone is wondering whether or not they should have an editor, they should try it because they need to understand what actually goes into editing a podcast episode. Because a lot of people have this misconception like, oh, I'm a hired editor and I'm going to get them for like, you know, $15 an hour. And it's like, that's great. But sometimes, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And so like you have this misconception of like, oh, I'll get them for dirt cheap. And then it turns out that it's actually more than you thought because there's a lot of work. So if you can do a couple episodes yourself, you'll have that understanding of like, this is the level of work and like the level of quality that I need. And honestly, like if you got a Mac, go GarageBand. If you don't, try Audacity. It's not the prettiest, but it works and it's free, right? I know a lot of people like Hindenburg. I haven't personally tried it, but I know that's kind of a mid-level editing software that a lot of people like to use, especially in like journalism. But yeah, I mean, this is a whole podcast series worth like what software to use. But the reality is there's a lot of free, good software out there that you can sometimes just already have on your machine potentially.
Well, I use Adobe Premiere. So it's a video editing platform. And I usually edit some video and then we'll just take the audio file and do the same things that you would do. You know, you can do both in Adobe Premiere. Audition is something a lot of people like as well, but that's also, I mean, you could buy it off of the Adobe Cloud. I think it's like $20 a month or something, which isn't too bad. If you want to invest that and you want to learn that. But there is a lot more capabilities with Adobe Premiere, Adobe Audition than with Audacity. But Audacity works.
100%. It works and it works really well. And actually, I can't remember if it is open source or if it was open source or what, but basically it's been, it's like really old and really well kind of ironed out at this point. So yeah, it works like a charm, built like a tank. And if you want like a bare bones editor or even just like recording software, it's perfect for that, right?
Yeah. Have you tried Reaper?
I tried Reaper a long time ago when it was still free, but I tried it for music production. I haven't really tried it in a little while. I know they changed quite a bit. I know they're like really powerful now, like they really run it through kind of the paces of making it a full-fledged sort of production software. But I haven't. I use Pro Tools, which is kind of overkill, but I really, really enjoy the editing interface. I think it makes it really easy for me to do whatever I need to do. And I'm just used to it at this point. So I really like it. But yeah, that is kind of there's no reason any new podcaster should ever be thinking about trying Pro Tools, because it is going to make you not want to do podcasts. It's a hard software to learn. So it's just going to be a big learning curve. And that's, you know, not to say that you're not going to enjoy podcasting, but like once you dive into that, if you've never tried it before, it's going to be intimidating.
Yes. I think that actually the entire podcasting process can be intimidating, but it shouldn't discourage you, and you can absolutely DIY your podcast. It is totally possible. When would you suggest people start looking for an editor if that's the way they want to go?
I think you should always kind of be keeping stock of where you are quality-wise, like sound quality, production quality, and where you want to be. And if those line up, then you don't need an editor. If those don't line up and you've tried yourself to, you know, do the production and everything and you can't, then it's maybe time to start thinking about a budget and looking for an editor. But like, I mean, you know, the reality is there's no reason to have an editor just to want one. Like what the editor is going to bring to you is basically a higher production value. I think it's important to ask yourself basically, what is the production quality that I'm sitting at right now? And then where do I want to be ideally, you know, for future episodes? If that doesn't line up, then yeah, get an editor. Get even like, there are people that do production and that will basically guide you. Like, I think you should be, which I do a little bit of this as well, but like there are people that are more kind of high concept production. So they'll help you like brand and guide and book and everything like that. And they may not do so much the editing part, but they will help you sort of package and kind of like produce on a sort of more less technical sense, your podcast. But like I said, there's no reason to get an editor just because you want to get an editor, unless you know, that's your thing. But it's an important question. Like, if I'm not where I am production quality wise, how can I get there? And usually if time is not on your side, the best way to do that is to just hire someone to do it for you, so you can focus on the more important stuff, like, you know, booking guests or like marketing your podcast, because, you know, no one's going to do that for you if you don't do it yourself. So yeah, I think that's more or less what I would say, like for people that are kind of considering it.
Yeah. How much would you suggest people budget if they want to hire an editor?
Everyone wants to pay very little. And it's, it's kind of like any creative service, right? If you hire a photographer, you hire a videographer, you hire anyone that's going to do anything sort of artsy for you, you pay for what you get, right? You can go on, going to throw Fiverr under the bus here, but you can go on Fiverr. You can find someone for $10 an hour. And I mean, you're going to get $10 an hour worth of like work. Like it's going to look like $10 an hour, possibly. The budget is up in the air. It's really, think about, like in my case, I'll bill kind of by month. So like if it were someone specifically looking to work with me, I'd say, you know, think about how much you want to spend a month. Like how much is it really worth to have like a really kind of high quality show? And just go find someone that fits that price point. And hopefully you find someone that can do everything you want. And if they can't, then either you need to pick up the slack or you need to rebudget, basically, is what it comes down to.
So what's the price range you would say? $10 an hour on Fiverr?
I mean, think of it this way. You have shows like Radiolab. Like that was their full-time is, I guess for one of them, their full-time gig. Like that's it. That's got to basically pay a salary and a team. So like, you know, if you really think about it, this kind of goes back to what we talked about at the top of the show, which is like, there is a wide range of levels of quality and levels of production. And the biggest ones are backed by organizations that, you know, need to basically feed families. So like you, if you really, really, really want to get up to that level, you need to be ready to pay someone basically a salary, you know, if you want them to be like in, you know, with you, like teammates and partners to the end kind of doing. And obviously you don't need to do that if you've got like a weekly 15-minute show and it needs to line up with your show, right? If you're not producing a like kind of field journalism style production, you probably don't need someone that's ready to do that. But I guess to answer the question that it's like kind of at its broadest is like, yeah, you can go from $10 an hour to basically full salary. It goes that way.
That is true. Your experience is really in music production. And I think that people are always trying to figure out, like, how do I really incorporate music into my podcast? Do I need to license songs? How does that work? How do I edit the music into my voiceover? And I mean, what is your feedback? Do you use an audio library? Do you create music for people? What do you do?
Yeah, so I have a membership to an online platform called Soundstripe. And basically, it's kind of built, and most of them still are built for like video and vloggers and like video production and stuff. People that need basically backing music. But I'm a member there, or I have a membership there. And so they have an extensive library of music and sound effects. And so for the kind of podcasts that I will produce with like a music bed and with kind of like stings and effects and things like that, I'll just pull from there, right? There are plenty of these online. Like there are lots of sort of, you know, basically music for vloggers or like music for video. There are plenty of these websites. And that's always a good place to start, because they've really thought about how to handle royalties for this kind of stuff. Some of them specifically have thought about how to handle royalties for podcasts, but for a lot of them, if they're built for sort of digital media already, it kind of dovetails nicely into like podcast as a medium, podcasting as a medium. But yeah, so that's kind of how I deal with that. I don't personally have like an extensive library of you know, sound effects or music, but I dip into this like well kind of fed, you know, constantly refreshed pool that I get through Soundstripe.
So I'd love to talk a little bit more about your business. So what do you do for your clients? What do you do?
Yeah, so I will do the editing, the engineering, all the technical stuff. Editing, cutting out stuff, and just making the content sort of content-wise correct, right? So like if you're cutting you're cutting like, you know, spaces, you're cutting segments that don't need to be there, you're, you know, adding, you know, any segments that were recorded after the fact, or maybe adding like an intro and outro and all that stuff. Engineering is really where you get into like, okay, now you need to think about, I'm going to go kind of like full nerd here, but like now you need to think about starting to add EQs to your vocal tracks to make sure everything sounds like appropriate and that there's not too much like muddy kind of frequencies making someone sound like they're coming through like a box. You need to think about compression. You need to start making sure the dynamics are nice so that if someone's listening in a kind of noisy environment, it's not like some words pop out and others get drowned out. You need to start thinking about, you know, noise reduction. You need to start thinking about like getting rid of specific moments, or like if someone's too close to their mic and they're like popping it a lot, you know, you need to get rid of those. So engineering in my mind is really the technical stuff that goes into like fixing the audio. Editing is a little bit more about like arranging the audio, if that kind of makes sense.
So this is when, if you're editing, you look for the effects.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like in Audacity, I think they're called like effects. And they've got a few, obviously. I mean, to draw the music analogy out further, in basically a recording studio, there's one guy, sometimes multiple guys, depending on how big the studio is, who his entire job is to do the editing. And then he hands it off to another guy who his entire job is to do the engineering. So, you know, like it's just a different kind of a different goal in mind. One of them is like kind of the polish, making it really sound good. And the other one is making it sort of like arrange well and kind of fit well content wise.
And who does the music?
Well-known studios. There's a guy who his entire purpose is to set up the mics and then basically record stuff. He hands it off to another guy who basically puts all the tracks into place and chooses what they're going to use, what they're not going to use, and edits them down. Then there's another guy, does all the engineering. It's usually called like all the mixing. And then sometimes there's another guy who will do what's called mastering, which is like the last kind of 10% of making it really sound like basically radio ready. So, you know, there's really no reason to go through that many steps for podcasting, but I think there is a really good reason for striving to engineer your podcast properly to make sure it does sound like quality wise and kind of like, you know, make sure it's got that extra sheen and make sure like everyone's kind of like sounding like they're in a studio and not like they're, you know, in a room somewhere in like a bedroom or in a coffee shop or whatever.
I think that it it's helpful if people are ever hard on themselves or like, why doesn't my podcast sound like this other podcast? Especially if you're DIYing it. It's because you're one person and there's sometimes 3 to 4 people working on some of these like bigger podcasts that have this broadcast quality podcast. To grow your podcast, to engage with people, to monetize your podcast, if that's what you want to do at some point, but to like make an impact in somebody's life, to actually like connect with them and like touch their heart and make them feel good about the day. You don't need all of those bells and whistles to actually make an impact. It's more about what you're saying and how you're getting it to people.
Absolutely. There's a really important distinction between quality content and quality audio, right?
There we go. Yes.
And quality audio is a want, not a need. Quality content is absolutely a need, right? Like you're never going to have a good podcast if the content's not there. And you know, Exhibit A is Mark Maron's podcast. Like look at his setup online, look it up online. It looks crazy. Like he's stuffed into this, I think like added room in his house. Like it really does not look like anything special, but he's gotten one of the most popular podcasts. And it's because he's a really good interviewer. That is the reason. Like, okay, it sounds great. It doesn't sound like garbage, but you know, it's definitely like he's not writing off the coattails of like some super crazy high quality audio production. He's writing off the coattails of being a good host.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you would like people to know before we wrap up?
I think we covered a lot of ground.
we really did.
I think we have. I think, I think just to kind of bring back the sort of what we talked about near kind of, I guess the halfway mark, like if you want to start a podcast, just do it. Like there's never a good time to start, you know, quote unquote. There's never kind of like the ideal, like, okay, now I'm ready. It's like, just dive in and try, right? Podcasting is not a sprint. It's not a marathon. It is basically infinite. Like it will change, you'll grow, and you will make it better as time goes. But like, there's never an ideal time to just like, now I'm ready. Let's start it. Just start it. Just start it. See what happens. Improve as you go along. I think that's kind of the message, if you will, the moral of the story.
Yeah. And if you guys want to find more information to hear from Carl, where should they go?
Yes, they can always find me on my website, thepodcastengineer.com. I'm on social media, mostly active on Instagram. So I will basically every once in a while, ideally weekly, but you know, time dependent, will post these IGTV pod tips. And so those are always kind of fun for me to make and fun for people to watch. And it's always fun to see people's reactions to them. But yeah, you can get in contact with me via my website. It's probably the best way to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Carl, so much for being on the show. It's lovely to meet you.
Absolutely. It's lovely to meet you too. Thank you so much. I really had a great time.
Yeah, me too. Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.